Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, your daily lover, and we are going to start off with Happy Feelings with May family. Happy Feelings, yes.
Deep in my soul, I wish you happy feelings.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get ready to turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit, known by many, many names. But on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So right now we're going to become very intentional about the breath, because sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to take in that deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath. And right now, I just want you to be still and know I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. That's great.
and release. And as we call in the energy of forgiveness, breathing in divine love, and remembering that forgiveness is a matter of the heart, not the head. And so I want you to go right to your heart right now and just remember to forgive. It is so good for the soul. Let's forgive, family.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my mother. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be, and it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started, but we're going to play a song, get us into the mood, thinking about life and just thanking God for all the goodness. And so we're going to start off this segment with Mesa. God is good. The universe is amazing.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun and and I want to be free spiritually. I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go, but what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us, that we never have to worry and shed a tear, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience. What you need, Ingram? I am your daily lover, and that was Mesa right here on The Love Journey, y'all. She's going to be here in Chicago. But the true part of it is going to be the night before the sunrise. And my husband was like, oh, no, you won't be going to the Mesa concert, not the night before the sunrise. So I was like, well, maybe I could just go to it and come home early. He's like, I said, well, what if he's like, no. So I guess I won't see Mesa on August 4th, y'all. Good morning, family. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to The Love Journey, y'all. We are going to talk about, we're going to talk about this, I don't know if you call it a healing method, a mystical law. They call it so many things, but I call it my super secret wellness. So, yes, talking to a girlfriend. You know, a lot of people think I got this perfect life. Right? She's like, girl, you've been with Brandon for 30-something years, you have phenomenal children. Whew, girl, I don't know. I'm just like going through these changes and blah, blah, blah. I said, girl, that's because I took my spiritual tool chest and used the right tool for the right situation. She said, what you mean? I said, girl, I use money bag. I use my tools, my spiritual tools. And I said, this is the tool that I, after using divine love, the tool I love the most is right to the angels. I'm telling you, you can't lose when you use your spiritual tools. And we're going to talk about writing to the angels today. Yes, honey, honey, you can't lose. I don't know, if I didn't have my spiritual tools, I don't think I would have been married to nobody for 30-some years or had these phenomenal children, I think. You know, I had to write to the angels sometimes and say, what's going on? Yes. I was reading this. I'm going to read this right now. It was so good. It said, now, open your mind to receive. My Catherine Ponta. She said, an unhealthy person is an unhappy person. One who usually has human relationship problems, health problems, indicate people problems. However, if you have health problems which have resulted from the worry, connected, troubles with people in your midst, then the mystical loop can be your salvation. She said it's one of the most basic knowledge of psychology that all environments, circumstances, conditions, and people who come near you existed first as ideas in your own mind. One of the greatest secrets of establishing a healthy relationship with others is to learn how to clear and harness ideas about them from your own thinking. She said the great minds of all ages have known that if you deal exactly with your own thinking, the people around you will respond with right attitudes and right conditions, either by becoming harmonious in your mood or moving out of your life, finding their good elsewhere. I want to share with you, she said, a special method that will help you to do exactly what your own thinking with other people. This mystical technique may add years to your life as it relieves you of unnecessary worry and friction. It can work wonders in your relationship with others. It may even turn enemies into friends, and it will surely add immeasurably to your own mental and physical health. True words are angels. True words are alive with power. True words are health producing, harmony producing. There's a definite way you can employ words and produce harmonious results. She said the ancients felt that every person has an angel or higher self. Read it again. The ancients felt that every person has an angel or higher self. So that when you cannot reach that person's higher self through reasoning with them, or even through the usual method of prayer, you can reach their higher self by writing to their angels. They believe that the angels of God's presence is a miracle-working presence that is available to everyone. By writing to a person's angel, you establish in your own thinking a harmonious feeling about that person. Instead of continuing to see them as a person with horns, then that person also has a higher spiritual self that can be reached and which will respond harmonious. You see, Jesus described his higher self as man, as the kingdom of God within you. That's in Luke 17 and 21. Paul described it as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and 27. They even speak of Abraham Lincoln, spoke of it as the better angels of our nature. When you begin to think of a troublesome person from the higher standpoint, you radiate thoughts of harmony and good to that one subconsciously. And you also recognize in their being around that person's consciousness their own higher nature, which Job described in Job 32 and 8 as a spirit in man. You see, there's something about the written word that reached past the emotional blocks of vanity, ego, pride, deception, and intellectual argumentativeness, hurt feelings, inferiority, and that reached deep within to the judgment seat of such people, penetrating their spiritual nature. I just want you to know, it's one of the most powerful things I've ever done. I can just tell you. One time, you know, I gotta always tell you this story. I had just bought my daughter this beautiful BMW 3M. Now it was used. It was a little old, but it was so cute. It was so cute. She had just turned 16, and it was the cutest little 2-door M3 cute. And something had went wrong. They had the trans or whatever. And I took it to the dealership, but somehow we started going back and forth after so many days. And he had told me one price, and then he tried to tell me another price. And we were just going through it. And I just set the price down. And I began to write to his angels for 7 days. God told me to write to his angels for 7 days. And I wrote every day to his angels, to his higher self, the mechanic, the guy who owned the shop. And then God told me to get up that morning and take $750 out the bank and take it over to him because that was our original price. I got up at 6:30 when his shop was open. I went into the shop, gave him $750. Did you know he was nice? He handed everything to me and it was no problem. Oh, and I can't tell you how many times I have written to my husband's angel. I don't know, sometimes he gets in his stubborn ways, right? And he's not hearing me. And I just write my little letter, place it on my altar, whatever situation, I write to him. You see, there's power when we speak to the person's higher presence. Sometimes there's no reasoning with people in the physical presence. And all we do is exacerbate the situation and cause the situation to be even more than what it should be. So, you know, I think about Asia, my daughter, my youngest daughter, went through a phase. I don't know, she went through this gothic, dark phase, hanging out with dark people, wearing dark, cleaning up college, listening to the rock and roll. She just went through a very dark phase. She has a brilliant mind, and she was invited to be with these brilliant kids, but for somehow in this brilliant program, they had all these brilliant kids, but then they had these kids who were very dark. And she navigated her butt right over there with the dark kids. So we go. So I'm like watching her, and I can see, you know, the darkness. She's still doing well in school. She's not really getting in trouble, but something is becoming different about her, right? I didn't put my finger on it, but I knew something wasn't right. And lo and behold, I go to work, we keep going through, we just living our day-to-day existence, and I'm keep watching her, right? last month, maybe even a year later, we go on the Oprah Winfrey Show, right? And I'm invited on there because I'm this phenomenal mom, right? Jada Pinkett is on there, and Venus and Serena. So we're on here, and everything is good. And this show happens to have two shows to it. And one of the shows is about these young girls who with low self-esteem and all that stuff. And what we really made me think about, I was watching the roundtable conversation with Jada Pink. And her daughter said at one time she tried to cut her. She was a cutter. Now, I thought at the time, I actually just understood there's a difference between trying to commit suicide and being a cutter. A cutter is something different, which I don't really get all that, you know. Well, we go on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and these girls are trying to commit suicide, they're cutting themselves and all this stuff. And my daughter stands up and says, it was like something out of Jerry Springer or something. Because once she said that she was trying to cut herself, it was like, it was shocked when she found out about her daughter, because it just came out of nowhere. She never saw that. I never saw it coming. I just thought she was getting ready to do this most profound thing. And, oh my, you thought. I was on my show with, and I was like, well, what do you think about that? And how the cameras are on me. And all I could think was, I thought I was a good mom. I really didn't have, I was in shock. It was like my whole breath had came out of my body. And I can remember just being in the daze. I don't even remember nothing else after that other than Jada trying to talk me into telling me that I was a good mother and this is not, you know, and blah, 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 you know. And I can hear Jada saying what she's saying, trying to breathe life back into me because now I have no life. And I'm like, of all the places, everybody in the world, all I can think of is everybody's watching. Everybody's watching, right? So when we leave the show, we go to get something to eat. And I'm extremely quiet. I'm so quiet that it's loud. And the place we went to get is called Sunken Bone. And it's a place where you grill. You pick all your foods out and they fix it for you, you know. And they grill it. I can't think of it right, the name of it right now. Flat Top Grill, I think that's the name. Anyway, it was right around the corner from the Oprah studio. And we're sitting at our table, and everybody's sitting at their table, and it's loud in there. And my daughter looks at me because it's so quiet. Even Ebony's quiet. Nobody's saying a word. We just sit waiting on our food, right? And my daughter looks at me and busts out crying. She said, Mom, why are you so quiet? And I hold her gently in my arms, and I say, because I don't want to speak from my ego. I said, right now, get from my ego. And I just need some time to process before I can say a word to you because I don't want to come from my ego. So I came home and I meditated and I began to write to her angels. I meditated and I asked Holy Spirit to direct me with my words and to do, remove me past my ego presence. And into my higher presence, that anything that I may say or do will come from my higher mind self and not from the ego presence. Because immediately, I want to say, why did you take me on the Oprah show? Why did you get on the... And then everything, I wanted to go right into my ego space because my ego was bruised. Because it's so funny. It's so funny how life is. Of all the places that I've always been proud of, my motherhood has been one of my most proudest things that I've done because I love being a mother. But I mean, when I say loved in the with past, I mean, I really loved when they were little. I really spent time with them. We did so many things. They were my best friends. We did so many wonderful things together. Every year we went to see Alvin Ailey, we dressed up and then we would go to the opera, we go to the theater, we go to the movies, we hang out in the parks, we go to the museum. We just did so many cultural things around and sometimes we just sat around on the rocks by the lake and watched the moon and lay on the rocks or we'd lay in the grass and roll. We just had such a phenomenal time together. So this was a bruise to my ego. And so I had to move past my ego, because I don't understand why our children are such a big ego process for us, you know. Oh, yeah, my daughter's going to Harvard, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. All this good stuff that we talk about when we are proud of our children. But when our children are in spaces that we're not so proud of, it's not so easy to say, oh, yeah, well, they're on a road to finding themselves right now. Or, you know, they're growing and they're becoming a greater version of themselves every day. You know, we had to find words to say. And I had to learn that each one of my children had a path. And that path was a place to that higher divine self. And so I had to learn how to write to her angels. And so I began to write to her angels. And I began to meditate. And God explained to me that music has a spirit, and the music she was listening to was causing her to have this dark energy. So I was laying in the bed, maybe about the fourth day after writing to her angels, and God directed me to come in the room where she had in her room. But she listened to most of her time her music in her ears. She loved classical music and she loved rock. And I'm a big rock fan, especially hard rock. So I came in and she said, go listen to what she's listening to. She came in, was on the computer, and I said, next, so how you feeling? And she said, good. I said, what you listening to? She was listening to, I think, Nirvana. I think that was one of the group. And so I said, well, let me hear. She put the earphones on my ear. And the song was about committing suicide. I was like, oh, my God. So I give her the earphones back, and I go back in the room, and I say, God, what do I do next? I could see, I mean, the music was so hard, and the words was so deep, and it was so dark, it just brought an eerie feeling into my heart. And I was like, what did I know, God? And so God said, put her on punishment and take her music away from her. I was like, okay. So I had to think of a reason to put her on punishment. Now, I can't remember what she did, so I was just watching and waiting. And she did something. It was so mighty. She probably was like, I can't believe my mom putting me on punishment for this. And so I said, you know what? You're on punishment. Now, don't ask me what it was, because I can't remember right now. So I put her on punishment, and I took her, and God told me to take her music away. So I told her she couldn't go outside. I told her she couldn't listen to the, you know, she couldn't be on the phone. And I told her she couldn't watch TV, and she couldn't be on the computer. Now, she was fine with all those things. And I said, and you can't listen to your music. Oh, my God. She was like, fine with everything. But when I said she couldn't listen to her music, do you know that? She must have been about 12, 13. Little girl got down on that floor and gave a temper tantrum because I took her music away. She didn't care that she wasn't going to go with her friends. She didn't care she couldn't talk to them. She didn't care about the TV. She didn't care about the computer. But that music. Oh, no. She said, Mama, you cannot take my music away. Please, Mama. Please, Mama. She was begging me, like, oh, my God. And she was in tears, and she was, Mama, please. And she was throwing herself. And I was so bad because she really hadn't did anything to even really deliver to me. Taking away all this stuff. But I knew that God had called me to do it, so I did it. Oh, my God. And I felt so bad. And I went in the room, and I met her. And so this time she was on punishment for 7 days, and God told me to take the music away for 7 days. So I took her experiences with outside forces and everything for 7 whole days. But let me tell you how good following spirit is. So I sat there and I was writing to her angel. Maybe about the third day, she was in her big sister room, and I happened to walk in the room, and she was sitting there on her bed, and she was talking to her sister, and I came in, and I was sitting on the bed, and I began to hear and listen, and I looked over at her, and I could not believe what I had saw. They didn't know what I was doing, but I had saw that she had became lighter. her energy was lighter. Her energy wasn't so dark, and everything was so different. And she had on lighter fingernail polish. She had been wearing that black fingernail polish because she had been hanging out with the gothic crew and, you know, wearing dark and black. And I was like, what in the world? Black lipstick and all that stuff? Girl, please. Do you know her energy and her mind shifted in those days? Me writing to her angel, me following spirit, and her not listening to the music that was talking about suicide and all that stuff. I could see that spirit had lifted off her. And I was praying and just giving praise to God. I was sitting there in my mind just thanking God. Because if I had not known how to write to her angels, and if I had not known how to be still in his spirit, I don't know where my daughter would have been today, even if she would have still been on the planet. Sometimes I wonder, if I hadn't done that, if she would have been here, because so many children today are committing suicide. Did you know the suicide rate, especially in our community, is higher and higher and higher? So I really want, and I'm telling you, you can write to your husband angels, your spouse angels, your any disharmony, but I particularly want to bring this out because I think that we got to start dealing with our children in a higher space now. I don't know if we can deal with our children in the physical realm now, as they reduce to. So I wanted to make sure just to spread it out to remind you to write to their angels. Write to their angels, the higher mind self. If you got to do it for 21 days, do it 21 days, but do it. And I promise you, you will see some results immediately. I remember I needed a quick influx of cash. I needed a big ram of money. I was sending my daughter to boarding school, the same daughter that I'm talking about. She was, you know, she in the same program, she wanted to go to boarding school. And I was, my immediate reaction was no. People send their kids to boarding school who don't want to be bothered, or bad kids go to boarding school. But I soon found out that that wasn't all true, that, and I told her, I just thought that I wanted she to be here. But anyway, it turned out that that was the direction she should go. That was best for her. And so she went to boarding school. But I needed a big influx of cash. I needed a $10,000 down payment, $5,000 for this and that. I should get laptops, big screens. They got dorm room stuff I had to get. It was almost like going away to college. Actually, it was like going away to college. So I began to write to my angels of prosperity, my money angels. Dear money angels. And I just began to write every day to my money angels. Every morning I got up and every night. You know, now when you know something is on my mind when I write in the morning and at night. If I do it two times a day, you know it's deep. I need it now, God. So I began to write to my money angels. And let me tell you what happened. I was sitting at work in my office thinking of creative ways to come up with this money that I needed, right? And this guy walks in my office, Lewis was his name, and he says, you seem like you got a lot on your mind. You don't seem as easy and fluid as you usually. And I told him I was sending, you know, what was going on, and I needed how much money I needed and blah, blah, blah. So he went to his seat and then he came back. He said, I talked to Seth and Seth is going to give you four, loan you four, I'm going to loan you four, and Miss Nice is going to loan you the rest. So he came back with the answer. He gave me his money and Seth gave me her money. Now he went around and asked the people for the money for me and borrowed the money for me and gave me the money to send it. I said, God, you're so good. And I didn't even have to do nothing but just sit there and write to the angels of my prosperity. And the money showed up at my door. Same thing with a car one time. I was writing to the angels of a new car. my higher myself. My old car was, I had a big Papa Lexus, but the heat was running out and things were starting to go wrong with the car, and needed a new car for my dad. And so a mechanic came by the house looking at my LS 400 Lexus, and he came in an SC 400, mother of pearl Lexus, 10 leather seats, 12 disc player, DVD player, everything. I mean, the sound system, the sunroof, mother of pearl color, leather, peanut butter leather seats. It was bad to the bone. This was an SC400 Lexus. And I, while he was looking at my car, and I was looking at the car. It was one of his cars that he was getting ready to put on his floor to sell. It was maybe about a year old. I said, something spoke to me and said, that's your car. And so I went to God and said, how much is this car? I want this car right here. God told me. I didn't tell him. I said, but that's my car. He said, no, this car not for sale. I said, oh, that's my car, Gus. He said, it's not for sale, Janine. I said, okay. So he said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to want you to, I'm going to have somebody tow the car to the shop tomorrow, and I'm going to drop you off where you want to go. So he dropped me off at my friend's house. And I knew that was my car. So I came home after my girlfriend was getting married. We were going to look at wedding dresses. And she dropped me off at home, and I began to, that night, write to the angels of my new car, because I knew that was my car. God had already told me that was my car. 4 days later, I get a call. Gus said, I'm dropping the car off to you. He said, pay me when you get the money. And I said, okay. So I knew it was my car. He said, the guy who was going to buy the car changed his mind. Look at God. So he drops the car off at my shop where I was working. And everybody said, oh, that's you. Everybody knew that car was for me. It just looked like me. It was, but I just looked so good in that car. Anyway, so now I had to put together the money. I needed the money to buy this car. Now, I didn't know where I was going to get the money from in cash for the car, because I was in a position at the time where I couldn't finance it. No, nothing, because I had been told I was in a court situation because of some stuff that was going on. And at the time, none of us could finance or could do anything with, so I couldn't finance God. So I'm like, God, what am I going to do? And let me just tell you how interesting it was. I had just put on my vision board that I had wanted a mother of pearl, blah, 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 car, and I wanted it to be paid free and clear, right? Let me just tell you when you ask God for something. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to finance it. I asked Sister Adjo to do. I'm trying to finance the car. But I had asked God to give me a car free and clear. So I'm sitting on the rocks, because now I'm getting to a point where I can't figure out how to get the money. My auntie calls all the way from Texas. She said, what you doing? I said, I'm thinking about what to do next. I think I'm going to take the car back. And blah, blah. She said, no, keep the car one more day. I was explaining to her what was going on, blah, blah, blah. She said, keep the car one more day. So I began to write to the angels of prosperity, and I began to write to the angels of my car, right? 2 days later, I was with my landlord. I worked for CHA in New York. Put a lot of people in his business. I had him so in tennis that he was making $150,000 a month from just the work that I had did on putting tennis in his units. And so he was like, he was asking me, why, you know, you look like you got a lot on your mind. What's going on? I said, well, you know, I was explaining to him the situation. He said, well, how much do you need? I told him how much I need for with the car for tax title and license. He said, come by. He lived in Barrington, Illinois. He said, come by my office tomorrow. And I'll write you a check. So we called the guy, and he told, we put the guy on the phone. He asked the guy, how much do I need to pay him? And so when I went out there, he wrote a check for the car plus tax title and license plus $3,000 open. And then he put me a new sound system in the car. I tell you, writing to the angels and to the angels of prosperity was just the most powerful thing I could do. But what was more amazing about all of that is when I got home to thank God for my blessing, I was reading my journal about how I wanted a car free and clear, and God said, why was you looking for your finances when you knew you asked me for a car free and clear? Now you got a car free and clear. And I just went to thanking God even more, because God said, oh, ye a little faith. I had my faith misaligned because I didn't really think about the fact that I could really have a car with no car payment on it. I could ask God for something and then expect less than what I asked. God was not aligned faith. My faith was misaligned, and God was showing me how my faith had been misaligned for asking God for a car free and clear with no car payments. But then I was looking for financing. That didn't make no sense, God said. And I learned a very valuable lesson, how much God loves. So I named my car the Love Bug. That Lexus was called the Love Bug. And I would get up every day and say, when I got in it, good morning, Love Bug. That was my love book, because it taught me that God loved me, the universe loved me, the love of the universe was right here for me, and that the universe was conspiring for the best and the highest good in my life. But sometimes I couldn't feel it or see it because I sometimes forgot to trust God. Sometimes I forgot to trust in my ability to manifest because of my own doubts. Oh, yeah, God give me a car, but I know I'm going to need the finance. How am I going to get a car free and clear? Now, I wasn't thinking, but I'm sure there was some doubts in my mind that even when I was asking for it, that I could have it. But God showed me, there's nothing impossible for me. How you going to pray this big prayer and then expect little? Come on, God. God said, Janine, how was you expecting me to give you something that you asked for, but then you looking for something less than what I asked for? That's not the right kind of expectation. I want you to expect from me the best. What you ask of me is what I want you to expect from me, Holy Spirit said to me. And so I just want you to know today, it's power in writing. To the angel. Something powerful about the written word. I'm going to read this method to you that a young doctor did in Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. Although all religions and cultures have long taught that your words have power, many cultures have realized that there's special power in the written word. John, in his Revelation, speaks of writing to the angels of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Here, the word church symbolizes a person's higher self or spiritual conscience. You see, the seven churches to whom John wrote are symbolic of the seven types of people whom you can reach by writing to the angels when you seem unable to reach them in any other way. She said, I've known a number of people who use this mystical method of healing for reaching troublesome people and clearing up in harmony. And sometimes long-standing, of course, their own long unhappiness was enhanced as a result. A young doctor learned of the physical technique and used it to great advantage. For some months, he had been out of harmony with another doctor and had used every means he knew to restore the harmony, but the other physician had refused his bids for reconciliation. This man began daily writing to the angel of his former friend, asking that perfect understanding be reestablished between them. Several weeks later, he met this doctor friend on the street, and to his surprise was greeted graciously, inviting him to lunch. Their friendship was established and has continued unhindered since that time. The word write means to engrave, to form, to make a deep, permanent impression. Written words do just that. They make a deep, permanent impression upon the ethers of the universe. Now, I want you to really hear this, family, because not only is writing to the angel powerful, but writing down your goals. This is why the word write means to engrave, to form, to make a deep and permanent impression. Written words do just that. They make a deep, permanent impression upon the ethers of the universe, thereby forming definite results from the ethers. You see, written words are an excellent method of healing because written words also make a deep impression upon the consciousness of those to whom they are written. Many a case of sicknesses and inharmony will be quietly resolved if someone will write out good words about the people or the situation involved. Catherine Patterson, after mentioning this and Diamond Rose of Prosperity and Angel, she was amazed at the amount of mail she received for many readers who had tested the technique and had proved its power for achieving harmony with others. They were so impressed with the results of their efforts that they required more about it. And she sent them information on how to reach the powerful presence of the higher mind, the writing to angels. Family in the written word. It's power in the written word. I'm going to leave you with this, the importance of patience and secrecy. Now, I want you to hear the words I say, patience and secrecy. Patience. We have to be patient. When we plant a seed, we have to have an expectation. When I planted the seed to God that I wanted a car with no car payments, I had to be patient, but I also had to have the expectation that what I planted was what it was going to grow. I can't plant a rose bush and expect lilies to grow. But I plant and God is going to give me that plus more. We have to have that expectation. So patience plus secrecy is important. In writing to another's angels, at times it would look as though this method is not working. And then suddenly, everything will shift. Changes will come, and matters that had seemed destined for failure will clear up very quickly. You should write to his angels as often as you know, and the results appear. It is good to address your notes to the angels of Janine Ingram, to the angels of Blow, to the angels of whoever, and then ask their help concerning that person. To the angels of Janine Ingram, I'm asking you angels for support in whatever you want to write about. And it's also good to write out affirmations directly to the person who you wish to reach. Be very quiet about what you are doing. However, since this is a secret technique that has power only if you keep it a secret, after writing your notes, either burn them or seal them and putting them away in a safe place. And while you secretly await results, be sure to eventually let it go and burn them so that secrecy shall be preserved. You see, the angel, the word angel means messengers of God. And when it seems that your life is filled with defeat or that you are tempted to condemn yourself, do not overlook writing to your own angels. The office of the angels is to guard, guide, and direct you. Allow them that high and holy privilege. Now, Emma Curtis Hopkins has written her book called The High Mysticism. She says in this book, the angel of his presence accompanies every person. This high leadership is every person's heritage. They need not fear dangerous means or vicious circumstances while they are aware that their angels go before them, complete their cause, and defend them. So when challenges arise in your life, say to yourself, I have nothing to fear because my guardian angels go before me, making my way right. Decree this often for others too. A businesswoman was concerned about having to make an out-of-town buying trip since she would have to drive 200 miles in rain and fog accompanied by her sick husband, whom she could not leave at home alone. A friend said, you have nothing to fear because your guardian angels will be with you. Upon returning from the buying trip, this businesswoman reported, I did seem to be accompanied by an angel. As I drove out of town, the sky cleared of fog. The rain stopped and the sun shone through. There was no more bad weather on the entire trip. The drive helped my husband's spirits and he suffered no ill effects from it. Financially, this proved to be the most profitable buying trip I have made in a long time. She said, never expect your angels or that of another to honor any request that might hurt or harm someone. Be willing that something infinitely better than that which you have in mind comes forth as you use your angel writing technique. You then open the way for your higher good as well as for your highest good of all involved to manifest as an unlimited way. The Hebrews of the old felt that Raphael was the angel of healing. At times you wish to decree the angel of health come forth here and now. Or you may wish to call on the angel of prosperity, Jehovah Rapha, or the angel of love and of harmony in the same way. A powerful way to invoke the mystical healing is to meditate often upon the promises of the psalmist who accompanied the angels. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thee, thy tent, for he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 91:10-11. That's my message, family. I want us to learn how to use this technique to use as another tool in the tool chest of our notebooks. Your writing techniques is a powerful tool. I can't tell you how many times I wrote to the angels in my life, over my cars, over my husband, over my children, over harmony situations, and in harmony space with somebody I love, with my friend, and me and her were in the space I could understand it, and I began to write to our friendship angels and to dissolve the harmony and bring in harmony into our relationship. And it was so powerful. And we're still friends today. And so I just want you to know, family, there's power in using our spiritual tools. I like what Reverend Ike said. He said, you can't lose with the stuff I use now. I use my spiritual tools. He said, how do you know? Because I use them on myself first. He said, these techniques I share with you, I use it on myself first, family. So what I'm sharing with you is not something that I don't know. You see, it's like self-love. People talk about self-love but haven't really accomplished the idea of loving themselves. It's different when someone teaching you something that they use. I'm learning. I remember when God set me in the middle of that bed and taught me how to love myself, and I'm doing it, and I'm working it, and it's becoming better and better every day. But a lot of people are just talking from knowledge and not from the heart. This comes from my heart, family. This is another page in the notebook. I tell you, this is a powerful tool, and you can't lose if you use this. You want to get health, you want to heal something, you want a better relationship with your children, you want your children better on a better track or something, your spouse is acting a doggone fool and you don't understand what's going on, write to the angels, honey. Write. There's something powerful in the written word. There's something powerful about acknowledging the higher self. This is power. Any questions, just press the 1 on Blog Talk Radio, and if you're on teleconference, *6. If not, then I love you, family. It's a powerful tool. I'd love to hear some of you all's testimonies as you use it. Use it, family. Use it. All right, family, I want to tell you that your life is a gift from God. And that what you do with your life really is a gift back to God. I want you to use love. Choose love. Love is the only choice, family. I want to remind you that. Don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live your God-sized dreams. Family, the power is in you. Work it. Remember, it only works if you work it. It only works if you work it. I work it. It worked, I tell you. Yes, it worked because I worked it, family. It worked. That's going to be my motto. Dr. Johnny Coleman said it only works if you work it. I'm going to tell you, it worked because I worked it, family. I worked it. Worked it. All right, family, I'm being silly. All right, I love you. You have an amazing, phenomenal, love-filled day. Remember to write to the angels. This is Angels with Layla Hathaway. You've been tuned in to the love journey from experience, Janine and Ingram. Woo!
Yeah.